So up here in Alaska, I'm staying at Captain Cook. Thursday morning, Mark picks me up. We head over to the Wiggy's shop, Wiggy Alaska, Old Stewart, Wiggy's bags. And I'm sitting there in the chair in the shooter's lounge for Anchorage area. Anybody who does long range shooting, they come up there. What do you got, about 20, 30 coffee mugs with everybody's name on it? Because yep. They all come hang out.
It is the shooter's lounge.
And then you have the chess set and you do the chess problems.
Yeah, I'm a chess fan.
Yep. So I got
I'm a pretty sharp cat.
Yeah, I hear you. So I got my back to the door. I got my phone in my hand. I'm looking at the news. I haven't caught up on the news and everything. So customers come in, husband and wife. Mark gets up, greets them. Hey, can I help you? What's going on? You know, personal stuff. And they're like, and the wife says, you know, hey, I came here. I bought this bag a year ago. I got a Wiggy's bag. And I put it in the wash machine. And I got a tear in the cover. And so Mark's like, yeah, your agitator probably got it. We don't recommend that you do it with an agitator. But nah, no big deal. Here's the fix. So Mark goes through that they use like a nylon tape. And they just kind of tape the tear because you can't really sew the outer shell cordura.
No, taffeta nylon.
Is taffeta nylon?
It's pretty thin.
Okay, so he's like, you know, he kind of explains to them, hey, this is how we do it. And they're like, well, we really like the Wiggy's bag. Can you wrench on it? Can you fix it? What do you do? And he goes, no, we don't take the bag apart and redo shells and all that. You get a small tear in the outer shell. We just kind of tape it up, and this is what we do. And they want him to wrench on.
They wanted a new bag.
Yeah.
They wanted a new bag. Either make this bag new or give me a new bag.
Right. They were kind of going. You could tell they were playing around a little bit. But I'm not even looking up. I don't even know what they look like. I couldn't tell you what they were wearing. So I'm just sitting there, kind of stone face, looking at my phone, checking out the news, and the husband goes, "Well, gee, thought I bought a better bag than this."
No, I thought I would get more quality for my purchase, and that's all he had to say to set me off. And I'm very defensive of Wiggy bags. They're the best bags on the planet. And so I told him,
"Yeah,
that's the best bag on the planet."
Right, that's what Mark says. He goes, "No, don't even go there. That's the best bag on the planet. Your washing machine tore it. Get a better washing machine."
That's what I said. He goes, I said, "You don't need a better bag. You need a better washing machine." The guy wanted to kick my ass.
Like, and literally.
He's never actually. His wife must think so much of him, because as soon as I questioned him, he just wanted to go right to the street. He goes,
yes.
"I should just kick your ass." I said, "You really should, but you're not gonna, because this is my store. And we got things to do here. We're leaving here in 15 minutes to head up north. We got things to do." And so she's dragging him out the door. He goes, "Well, I'm gonna ruin you on the internet." What did I say, Frank? I said, "Oh no!" I grabbed my head.
He did it. You did Home Alone.
I went, "Oh no, not the internet."
Mark went Home Alone on the guy. And he totally grabbed his face and did the Macaulay Culkin thing and said, "Oh no, not the internet." I was like sitting there dying laughing.
The guy's wife is dragging him away, and he's swinging in the swinging at the air at me. Dragging away. But we had things to do. We're coming up here to teach you Alaska Precision Rifle Course.
So, season ending, we had a PR2 class. We had the Sheep Creek. We're at Sheep Creek right now. Last night, we're kind of doing our victory lap.
Mark, and this is your episode 200.
Yeah, this is episode 200. Holy shit. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Well,
been busy, man.
Yeah.
Welcome to the 200th episode of the Everyday Sniper. We just hit a milestone, everybody. So I'm up here where I should hit a milestone at Sheep Creek Lodge. This is our fifth year. They had the reunion.
29th class. We're averaging 14 students per class, and we've had 410 students in the fifth. This is our fifth season. We're not
right.
5 years old. This is our fifth season.
Right, because we just run a season up here.
Yep.
And Sheep Creek had their five-year reunion as well. Jesse's 30th birthday. Happy birthday, Jesse. Great party last night. What a blast. Awesome, awesome time.
Band. Brisket, I think it was, or pork.
They had the brisket.
Yeah, it was brisket.
Then they had the chicken that came out later.
Yeah.
The potatoes were insane.
Yeah.
And then just had a bunch of shooters here with a really great time. This is a destination. The guys don't leave. We had the PR2 guys that stuck around, enjoyed the party. Crappy weather today, Sunday, for the reunion shoot. So the shoot was a little light, downpoured all day, and it's cold. We had 25 degrees.
Minus 2,500 DA to start.
Yes.
Or minus 2,000.
2,000. Minus 2,000 yeah. DA.
But that's incredible. In this time of year, to hit a minus 2,000, that's a pretty special place to be. The bullets were acting right, though.
Yes.
Dense air, bullets were acting right. People were shooting pretty good groups. You know?
Yeah. The groups at 100 are good when the air is all dense like that.
I have a theory, and this is only a theory, and I could be disproven. I'm sure Litz or somebody will just go, oh, he's full of shit. But in thin air, your bullets are flighty.
Yeah.
They're easily pushed off path.
Mm-hmm.
But in thicker air, your bullets are sticking to the path because it's thicker air. It takes more, a little bit more to push them off. I don't know. Just a theory I have. I just think.
Well, we're shooting better.
On days like this, we usually tend to shoot better.
Right, right.
I did a lot of shooting. You did a lot of shooting. And I was really happy with my shooting. We'll get into that later. But anyway, welcome to episode 200. Congratulations, Frank. Great job. The Everyday Sniper is really successful. And we're getting a lot of good feedback. We had some students here.
Yep.
What was his name? Alaska ATV. Want to shout out to
Rick. ATV. Alaska ATV, who posts in the Podbean app all the time. Rick was here. Want to thank him. He's always front and center posting in the Podbean app and commenting. And we ask you guys to comment. Hey, come on up and comment. Come on up and comment, because that's a metric that they look at. But we ended the day early today. We got to relax a little bit, watch the football game. Your Saints won. Broncos tanked it again.
Whatever.
Yep. Yeah, but I you know what? I'm from Connecticut.
No, I get it.
I could default to New England.
Yeah, you default to winning the Super Bowl. At least every year.
Yeah. So when Denver does shit, I just say I'm from New England.
But back to Rick Stiles. What we'd like to see is participation. And you guys, we bring you in from seemingly nowhere. You purchase a course. You come to a course. Now you belong to a
community.
A great big community of shooters. And now you're participating on the internet. And then there's guys who are participating on the internet who haven't exposed themselves to the course yet.
Right.
And so they don't really know, you know, where this all leads. They're thinking they know where it leads. But I'm telling you, it leads
the
to
relationships
times.
Made here last. Look
like
at
the
like
LA guys that
Brett,
had
Brett
time.
And James with Deeren and all that.
We had police officers, we had troopers, we had FBI agent, we had formers, we had retirees, and then we had, you know, airline pilots and just regular Joe Schmoes.
an airline pilot who missed his flight.
And we had a guy wanted in 5 states. So now they're back working out their warrant program on this cat. You know, no, I'm just kidding. But basically, it's a smattering of people, but everybody comes together, sits at a big round table, and enjoys each other's company, gets to know the other side. LA guys just deal with criminals and liars.
Right.
The first thing out of anybody's mouth is, I didn't do it, and you're a fucking asshole. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So now they get to deal with regular everyday people. Regular everyday people get to deal with law enforcement officers. Like, you know, we had that trooper. He's first of all, he's a poster boy.
Yeah, he is. We won't out him. Let's not out him, but yeah.
No, we're not going to out him. We're not going to say his name. But there's an actual poster of him, and he's a poster boy. I mean, and what that does is that puts a great face for the troopers or for this law enforcement organization or this one on the public. Because now you've got a bunch of people who go, you know.
Well, last night at the party, the musher.
Yeah, the musher. Musher comes in, female musher. We won't mention her name either. But basically, she comes in, female musher, and as soon as I outed the guy as a trooper, and she goes, oh, all troopers are assholes. And before the conversation was over, she's in love with the trooper.
Right.
Sort of.
Right. But he made nice with her.
Yeah, he made nice with her.
And I found out, for 2 years, I thought she was mad at me.
Yeah.
And she came up to me, and she was like, you know, We had a great conversation. She's like, I was never mad at you. Everything's cool. And I'm like, oh, great. For 2 years, I thought you were pissed at me.
Frank thinks everybody's mad at him because everybody's mad at him. Yeah.
Well, because I did, something happened at the party 2 years ago, and she's like, you're that guy. And I was like, oh, shit. What did I say? 1 o'clock in the morning, drinking all, you know, night.
Yeah.
And so I always thought the way she came off with me, she was mad at me. I mean, she's a 6-time finisher.
Yeah.
Of the, you know, big races up here. I won't say it right because I say it wrong. They all laughed at me last.
I did a rod.
It has a speed bump in the word. I say idle rod.
Yeah.
And they laugh. But in upper sustainment.
Sustainment. It's Upper Susitna Shooters Association. He calls it Upper Sustina.
And so, yeah, I mean, we just had a really great time. And what it does is it creates a community where you have not only a support system, but an information system. You get to exchange information with other shooters, like-minded people. People you may not know are only 30 minutes away from you, come together through these courses.
And they're all getting the fundamentals.
Yes.
Which, in a lot of ways, law enforcement needs.
Well, let's, you know, and let's go to
okay,
the other.
That's what I wanted to segue into this topic that we wanted to cover was a lot of, you know, I'm going to target law enforcement. I'm going to teach law enforcement a law enforcement course. That's what a person says. Okay, got it. But have you covered the fundamentals? Because a lot of times law enforcement agents just need the fundamentals to get them to the next level.
Right.
They're getting third level instruction when they really need first level instruction.
Yes, and the tactics are all over the planet, but everybody wants to be cool guy Gucci, give me a tactic and stuff. And it's like, no, because the state guy's tactic's different than the APD guy's tactic, who's different than the FBI guy's tactic. But they all are equal in that they need these fundamentals reinforced, and they're all coming back. They all are bringing more and more of their brethren through the course. And here we have a civilian precision rifle. This was our PR2. And all these guys have already been through PR1 with us, because that's a prerequisite in this situation. And they're getting something out of it.
Yep.
You know what I mean? They're enjoying it. And they're like, we're back. We're back. And we get to manipulate. We get to tailor. A lot of these guys were returned students, like we said. And the course changes on the fly. And you know what I mean? So we go set up the barricades, the positionals, because we tell them, you know, people say, what's PR2? What's the advanced class? What's this? Well, it's the fundamentals faster from alternate positions, really is all it comes down to. But that's not just it, because we did like the reticle holds for everybody. We did the BZO, put 400 dope on your rifle, and let's shoot 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and just use the reticle and move throughout. And guys really like that. And that's, you know, that's the next level
it
stuff.
It gives you confidence in your reticle. And a lot of times, you know, reticles are etched perfectly. Your turret may not give you a perfect tracking, but your reticle is perfect.
Right.
Now, we're not telling you to switch to reticle only holds.
No.
But basically, what we're saying is that that's an excellent tool to know how to utilize, because your reticle is probably not lying to you. It's lying to you on a lesser degree than your turret is.
And here's the thing. Distance is supposed to give you time and opportunity, but you may not have that time and opportunity. Great example, PRS match, 90 seconds. So you can find what's your highest priority target, dial that for point of aim, point of impact, and then if you know your dope and you understand your data and you can interpretate that data correctly, you can then use the reticle and be accurate. We had great center line hits using the reticle holds.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And what we did was we went to 400, backed into 300, which means a hold under.
Right.
And then we went out to 500 and with a hold over 6, 7, 8, and on and on out. But,
right.
But basically, what it gave them was confidence in their own ability to utilize the reticle as a more than just a centerpiece aiming tool.
And I talk about this with hunters, too. It's actual dope. And what did, what's his name from the range? Bob?
Yep.
What did he say when he's standing there watching us?
He goes, oh, you're using Kentucky windage.
And he's right, but it's valid dope we're using.
Yeah.
We're just happen to be using the sights.
Yeah, we're using Colorado elevation.
Right.
Yeah.
But this is an older guy, an older gentleman who's a member of this range up here, who does a lot of work for us. He tweaks out our connex and builds benches and does things. And he likes to come over and watch what we're doing. And that's his interpretation of what we're doing. But we're using a battle sight zero at 400. And then we're using that reticle to hold, to go under, to go do this, go do that. And hey, if you want to call
it successful,
right?
Very
you want to call it Kentucky windage. And the nice thing is, Bob showed up when Joe Butler shot.
Yeah.
And Joe Butler rock started.
He cleaned it. Yeah, he cleaned
like
it.
Like seconds.
Yeah.
You know, no hesitation. As fast as Joe is running the bolt and he hit that target, he's moving to the next. And that's the value of the reticle hold. You're not doing the reticle hold to think about the shot for 30 seconds. You're using the reticle hold to hit the next shot in 3 to 5 seconds. Okay, That's where that mindset, that prior proper planning to understand your dope. This is a great, another come in, talk about know your basic dope for your one gun. How we talked about your bullet book, right, your binder, and you have your dope page there, and you're schooling somebody. Mark's going down the line and going, hey, Campbell, what's your 600-yard dope? And he's like, goes to reach.
Hold on, let me see.
Right, no. There shouldn't be a hold on, let me see. This is what your 600 dope
is. Especially with a home range, Frank. You know, someplace where you're going, every time you shoot, you're going to the same range with similar conditions. Even if they're not similar conditions, you're going to base everything off the same dope.
We saw it like 900 and 1,000 yards in as cold as it is. Most of these guys came to this class with about a 1,500 density altitude, maybe 2,000 feet above sea level density altitude. Like Mark said, we had 2,000 feet negative. We saw 2/10.
Exactly.
Right. You know what I mean? 2/10. That's a third of it. Right. 3/4 of an inch.
So if you know your data, right, 6 or 7 or 8, you subtract 2.
Yeah.
But
or add 2 to it.
You know, we're not trying to downplay the resourcefulness or the usefulness of an app. We're just trying to say, man, just know your data. It's only, you know,
7 numbers.
Yeah, it's 80. Not even 10 because you're not, you're 0, 0.
Right. So 200 to 1,000.
200 is a splash.
Yeah. 0.4, 0.5.
So 300 is always a 1 or a 0.9 or a
yeah, from 1.2 8 to 1.1 usually. Yeah.
We're trying to make this easier for you. And you know, when we went over the weaponized math,
yep,
that was to try to make it easier for you and get out of your phone. Stop having phone face on the line, because we've seen a lot of that. And guy's looking at his phone. I ask him his data. He still can't tell me. I don't know what he's looking at. What is he looking at? His page where he's loading his information. But you only have to do that once.
Right.
And then stop looking at it. What I had him do was write it down. Write down your dope. Because when we write something down, we tend to memorize it or tend to learn it better.
Totally.
You know, you see, there's way you can see it, learn it. You can write it down, learn it. Or you can pull it up somewhere and ignore it. And just read it,
yep,
utilize it, and ignore it. And then go back and read it again, utilize it again.
Think of this weaponized math. It's not dependent on what scope you're using, what caliber you're using, what your muzzle velocity is. You can tweak it and true it for your system, but all you're going to do is change one number in this multiplier.
Yep.
So like I said, you know, in Colorado, I found at 8, 9, and 1,000 instead of like, you know, point.
You just had to flatten it out a little
bit. I just flattened it out a little bit. But now that'll work for my home range. It works, but it wasn't huge. It was instead of 0.25.
Or 2.2.
Or 2.2. It was 0.20.
Yeah.
And now I can dope your rifle. I can true your rifle with a minor tweak without sight height, bullet weight, muzzle velocity.
It's not dependent on anything except one
number.
Impact. Yes. One impact and the correlation of that impact to your mill, to your turret.
How amazing is that? Think about these apps. Think about what they're doing. And we're giving you just as good of data based on a single impact. That's huge, dude. And you know, talk about, too, like I said, the LE stuff is big. That don't be afraid to mix in these classes. If you don't want to be outed, if you don't want anybody to know your LE, just tell us.
Which is actually ridiculous, because what we have seen.
Because it's community
by
service.
By experience, you're serving the community.
Right.
Okay, why would you not want to out yourself? Have you done something wrong?
Right.
You know, but what we're seeing, based upon experience of having a lot of law enforcement put themselves in our courses, is that they're well welcome.
Yes.
You know, so there's no reason not to out yourself if you're going to present yourself as a gentleman in the course.
In a weird way, it actually gives a minor amount of credibility to their decision to come here. I'm here, and I got a guy who does this for a living next to me. I must have made the right decision.
Yeah.
And that's everybody wants, is that validation of their decisions, right? Validate me that I made the right decision. And a guy will show up blind, and he realizes the guy sitting next to him does this for a job. And he's like, wow, if this guy does this for a living, and he can go to anywhere.
He's going to this course.
Right. And what they don't realize is there are limitations on budgets and monies and training and things like that, which is why this course was designed to be less expensive. You know what I mean? You come down to Colorado, you come down to Treadproof, you come down to Altus, you come down to the Minnesota class, you're going to pay a little bit more money. This one was specifically designed to get you in the door easier.
Yep.
But it's a two-day course. You know what I mean? It's not a three-day, $1,000 course.
But there's always that. Frank. We right. go to a three-day.
Right, we're going to it. Next year's going to be next year's going to be big with that stuff. Our when we travel and we start moving around the country like we're going to be doing next year, yeah, you're going to be paying a little bit more because now we got airfare, we got hotels, we got all that other stuff. We got range fees and things like that that are going to be more expensive than the range fees in Alaska. But that, you know, doesn't change the training. It just is a factor of economics. And so, you know, but look at that. And then we were going to go on to something else with that. And I wanted to come back to the LE side of things. Let's talk these LE style Leopold Mark IVs from the 90s.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a, well, what I did was a bunch of tracking.
We did, yeah, PR2, we do scope tracking tests first thing after the classroom. So, I mean, PR2, these guys who were at this class generally have better equipment. And so we always do the scope tracking test. And as we had mentioned, we're recording all this data. We're compiling an encyclopedia of what we're seeing. We got the God book. We got a notes book, right? So Mark's got two of these books that we're doing. So we're going to give you some of what we saw with the scope tracking stuff because this was really a good class for scope tracking, a lot of hundreds. You know, a lot of scopes that track true.
Yep.
But again, we run into this Leopold Mark IV that...
95%.
95.
But when we mounted it on the scope tracking tool, what I noticed was that I could get it to focus or I could get it to be parallax free, but I could not get it to be focused and parallax free.
Right.
So when I got it parallax free at 100, I had a blurry ruler downrange, but we got a guy downrange telling us exactly what we're seeing. And it came out at 95%. Well, then we put it back on the student's rifle, and on day one, hour two or so, it failed. He couldn't shoot a tight group, and I determined that it was because his focus and his parallax didn't resolve.
Well, we gave him our backup scope, my Night Force NXS. And he shot fine.
And Night Force did really well, and I'm looking at my notes right now. And Night Force, whether it be an attacker or an SHV, they did really well. They did 100%. We had an attacker at 99, but that's not out of that's in the ball game all day. Vortex we did really well. Collis is always 100%. However, you had a Collis problem down.
Mike's reticle spun.
Yeah.
On a student, he loaned his rifle out and he had a Collis, a new one on it, and I noticed the student started kind of canting himself, and I said, "Dude, you're canted." He goes, "No, the reticle's straight." And I go, "No, but look, the rifle's canted over." And when we pulled Mike's rifle off the line, the reticle had spun inside the erector.
That's easily fixed.
He'll send it back and all that. But the other thing we, go ahead, talk which one you're
going. But since you mentioned that, reticle straight is not what you're looking for. You're looking for a plumb turret.
Well, you want to run the reticle
to... Well, you want that.
Right,
but,
right.
But your turret being... Where the movement's going to happen and where your come up is going to happen.
Yeah,
that's primary.
You don't want to track to a curve.
Exactly.
You don't want to track to a curve.
But you also don't want to track to a crooked reticle.
Right. Yeah, right.
I get it. But that's not a common problem.
And now talk about the Sig Tangos.
Tangos. Last class and this class. Well, let me think. I'm reading 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Sigs, and all of them are 100%. So that's a great scope at a decent price point.
Right. The Sig Tango 6s, some Tango 4s, the new Tango 4s. I'm not as big a fan as the older ones with the weird funky turret. The new one with the straightforward turret. We're seeing 100% out of Sig Tangos. Okay? We're seeing 100%. And I get it. It's anecdotal. But we're talking 6 of them now that we've tested. 100%. The one I have would be 7 is 100%. I like the Sig. It's a very similar... optical package to the Vortex, but it has, to me, a better look and better resolution than the Vortex when I compared them side by side. I think I've mentioned this when the Colville shooting in the woods, trying to get the target that wasn't painted, that I noticed that the Sig resolved better and let me see the target better than the Vortex. My Vortex I was running at the time, I had swapped over to a Sig with Pete Howell, in his scope was better than my Vortex. The other thing we saw, what else was it?
I had something I wanted to accomplish.
Oh,
okay.
Yes.
I brought two rifles to the course because I knew there'd be some downtime because we had the reunion shoot after. But what I did was a couple weeks ago, I traded my barrel, my 6.5 by 47 Lapua barrel for a Creedmoor barrel so that I could join the students on the line with Creedmoor. Got it? Everybody's bringing...
6.5 Creed's pretty
six,
common.
6.5 Creed, they're bringing white boxes of Hornady ammo, whether it be 140, 147. They're all shooting, all that ammo's shooting well. I'm tired of reloading all the time at 6.5 by 47 because, you know,
right.
that's you got to reload a 6.5 by 47. So I'm thinking, I want to join these guys with the Creedmoor. And so I swapped the barrel over to my, on my AXMC short action. And
that 308
and AX. Frank and I have been preaching that, you know, you really don't have to torque it to 100 pounds. You snap it hard, you torque it a little bit with your hand tight, and it works. And it will work. And it's very, it was very accurate. It was very precise.
Yeah, your 6x47 was a one
hole. But I didn't think I was getting enough out of this Creedmoor ammo. So what I, after a range.
You were a little disappointed.
Yeah, range session a couple weeks back. I went back home and I took a crescent wrench to the barrel. What'd you call them?
The flats.
Flats. And I smacked it with a heavy rubber mallet and put a measure of torque on it. I don't know what it is. It doesn't matter because it's stuck there now.
Yeah.
And then I
you
put
felt there was about a 1/16 of an inch movement.
Yeah, well, there was definitely movement in my barrel. Well, then we went back to the range and now it's lights out. And I gained at least 100 feet per second because this now matches my, I was shooting at 2705. I don't put a chronograph on my rifle or shoot through a chronograph. I shoot the dope and then I back into my muzzle velocity.
Right.
So what I did was I was shooting 2705 with the Box Creedmoor and now I'm shooting over 2800. Just by torquing up my barrel just a little bit.
Which is crazy, but your accuracy increased too.
And precision.
Yeah. And so, your precision, right. The groups tightened up. And that's kind of crazy because I never thought of that, you know? And it was like, wow, just that extra little nudge on it.
I'm going, Frank, come over and look at this. And what I had done was I had a sheet, a dope sheet, and I... Frank's over there working with students, and I just took 10 minutes. It really doesn't take me 10 minutes to dope a rifle. And basically, I went over there, and I started scratching out numbers and writing in
new
numbers. Yeah, basically. And I said, Frank, come take a look at this. And this is what was happening. And now it's matching 2830 data from my 6.5 before
the 7. Yeah, and now talk about your 800-yard group.
Okay, then, all right, another thing I wanted to accomplish was I'm thinking, you know, 6.5 by 47, I'm sort of lazy. I'm a lazy reloader. I'm not lazy with respect to the process. I just don't want to reload all the time. You know,
right,
I don't reload 300 rounds, I'll reload 30, and I go to the range. Well, what I did was I said, I want to add a little bit of muzzle velocity because I know the 6.5 by 47 can take it. I'm lazy at 2830. I'm going to add 6/10. I do everything at 3/10 increments. I'm going to add 6/10 to 5 reloaded bullets, and I'm going to take those with me up to the range. And what I didn't want to do was bog down at 100 and go, okay, it shoots a group. But it doesn't give me really any other information besides the fact that it shoots a group.
Right.
If you think about it, that's
because then you got a chronograph again.
Because then I got a chronograph. I got to get data for it. I got to do all these things.
What's my SD? What's this? What's that? What's the other
thing? So I had really precise ammo, and I'm out at 800, and I print right on the line, two shots right on the line. And I thought, all right, now I'm going to switch to that those 5 rounds that I brought, and I shot. I had a student get behind me, and I said, watch the 800. We're going to build it. We're going to try to build a group. If it's a decent group, then I've accomplished a lot of things, and I'll tell you about that. Well, then, boom, I start shooting them. Boom, I start. He goes, you're stacking them. I was 3/10 higher, which means 3/10 faster, and I printed a 4-inch group at 800, half MOA. So if I did that on paper at 100, I'm getting half MOA, probably better because it's 100, and I'm thrilled.
Right.
But now I'm thrilled out there. I'm not just thrilled here at 100. I'm thrilled out there.
Yeah.
Which tells me more things. Because then what I did was I went into my app, I opened it up, and started adding muzzle velocity until I
matched up,
resolved that 3/10 gain. And what I gained was a full 50 feet per second. With this, with by loading five rounds, I love 136 Canars. Yeah, I love them because they're not fickle. I don't have to worry about where they're seated.
Well, that's my favorite bullet if I had a choice.
They're not worried about where they're seated. You know, Pete, we heard a discussion tonight where somebody was chasing burgers, and I said, I'm not dogging burger. Burgers are very precise bullets, very accurate bullets, but you have to be in the process a little longer.
Yep.
And then you chase the process. As you get 2,000 rounds on your barrel, now what happens? Your throat's moving.
Well, Troy was talking about today. Exactly. He's shooting the 215s in his 300 Win Mag, and now he's got 1,300 rounds through it. He's got to chase it now.
Yep.
And he's talking about that today.
I think the point of this whole discussion is don't be scared to think through the problem. Or not a problem, or through the exercise.
The process.
The exercise. Okay, the exercise being this. I'm going to take five rounds. I go to the range all the time. But instead of doing a whole load development day, I'm going to take five rounds. All I'm going to increase is my powder. That's it. That's the only thing I'm going to change. Seating depth, same. Everything's the same. And then I'm not going to shoot that at 100. I'm going to shoot it at range. It could be 600. I would have saw the difference there.
Yep.
But basically, it told me more things.
Our 800, we got a big plate because it's the permanent range plate.
18-inch plate.
Yeah. It's a range plate. It's permanent. You can't move it. It weighs like a ton.
Yeah. But what it did was give me more information and validation in five rounds than a whole day you could spend at the range with choose this bullet, with all your bullets laid out in the box.
Right.
I thought that was excellent, man.
It worked out really well. And like you said, that tweaking the barrel a little tighter increased your precision, sped your rounds up, and now you're in a better place with that barrel, and all it took was a freaking smack with a rubber hammer.
Yep.
You know, how crazy is that? I'm going to go home and try it.
Yep.
You know, it's like, well, I got the AX there. I'm going to go try that.
Learn to think for yourselves, guys, and if you're not getting what you think you need, you don't have to make it. Well, you know, if you want to go to a gunsmith and let him do it, do it. But basically, there's some small things that you can do to increase your accuracy and precision that can save you some money. There
so, what else do you think we saw over the season? I thought it was a great season, man.
Oh, man. We had 150 students plus just up here. And I don't know what to... we had some funny times, you know. We had that guy. We had this guy. We had, you know, you guys have heard those stories already. But I just can't imagine something being more successful in such a shorter period of time. You know, going from 30 students a year to 150 students a year on demand, meaning they're demanding it. We're not just expanding it and hoping it'll fill. They're demanding it.
They're demanding it
because they need it.
Yeah, they really are demanding more out of us.
So speaking of expanding, where are we going with this, Frank?
Well, we're going to Treadproof. Treadproof expanded their line. I got the email or text from Dr. Maurer, and he showed me they're building out that line so we can fit everybody on the firing line. And if you remember, I told you they had kind of a small 8-person line for the longer range that they're doing, their mid-range. Well, they've expanded it out with a decking system. So now we're going to be able to fit the whole class that we booked up there. And we're just going full bore with the Treadproof stuff. I talked to Mike and those guys at Altus. We're going to be taking the Mark and Frank show down to Altus. And Altus, I think, is going to become our lower 48 PR2. I think you'll see Treadproof be the hardcore PR1. And
with a blend, I think we're going to stick to
three days. They're going to be blends. They'll be 3 days. Because they're going to be 3-day classes. And they're blends, don't get me wrong. But because of the facility at Altus, we're going to have a lot more ability to do more. The double movers down there, the Connex boxes, the towers, the all the competition stuff they do. And you know, I don't have that in Colorado. We don't have all that at Treadproof. We'll have it at Altus. So we're going to be setting up the March in November classes for Altus, and that's going to be released. We do have all the information for classes in Sniper's Hide and on the Facebook page for Alaska for next year.
Yes.
Because we already put the dates out. I'm working the dates for next year around what we already put out for Alaska.
Yep.
So if you're going to look at that, you're going to figure we're going to be filling in the blanks. And the season's expanding. We're not doing May to October, We're going to be doing March to November. Yeah. So, I mean, it's just growing and growing and growing. It's getting crazy in a good way, though. What else we got going on? Let's see. Got a couple more things. Hang on. Barrel Change, LE Fundamentals. We did that. We actually got some notes. We were sitting there watching the game, drinking some Trulies. I'm drinking fake drinks, but they still give me a buzz. Probably can hear it. just not doing whiskey. What do we got? The students. We already talked about that. Man, we're just hitting it. We're knocking this out pretty good for everybody.
Yep.
What else, man? Who else we got to shout out and thank? Well, Steve Haight. Super great guy, doing our range work, helping us out, and doing all the stuff there. James, got to say thanks to James.
James Drayton.
Yep, James Drayton for a great year. We really appreciate that. All the guys who come in, like a Troy.
Troy's pitching in.
Yep, Troy's been pitching in and stuff like that. Shout out to Mike, even though he did ghost us, guys. What can I say, man? You're going to have to call him up and talk to him. He's got commitments, but whatever, dude. It's a podcast.
Are you moving in with Mike?
I might be moving in with Mike.
More about that later.
I'm gonna be homeless pretty soon. But anyway, it's life. Shit happens. If I had a quick shout out, if you are an app developer, we kind of have a thing going on. If you're gonna tell me it's $100,000, $60,000 for an app, we're not talking about that. We're talking about something simplified that can be done in Excel. But in an app, it would work a little bit better. Give me a ring. Drop me an email if you know somebody who's an app developer who's not looking to make their year salary off of me. There might be potential for something so simplified that I've kind of sketched out that it's going to blow your mind. We just stumbled on it. And I really think
Over cocktails at Sheep Creek Lodge.
Yeah, over cocktails at Sheep Creek Lodge. Yep. And here's the thing. I can do it in Excel. But what are you going to do with it? It won't help you on the range. You need something that's more portable. So if you're an app developer guy and you want to either get your feet wet or do something or kind of come in, if you're going to work with us, then give me a ring. If you're going to come up and say, hey, man, you know, I do apps, you know, give me $50,000. Yeah, I ain't giving you $50,000, dude. I'll sit on it. You know, that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's out there so you guys to let me know. I got a Mile High class this week. It's already over full. This is the last class of the season. So Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I'll be doing my final Mile High class for the season. We got 14 or so students for that. So I'll see you guys coming there. And that's kind of where we're at right now. It's the end of the season. We're doing our victory lap. And so you're listening to not only the 200th podcast episode, but a big culmination of 5 years of effort that's bearing fruit. I mean, think about this, Mark. Your weaponized math. We put an article out. We put it public. Have we got one dissension?
No.
I mean, we've had a person say, yeah, this one range was two-tenths off.
But, okay, two-tenths. You know, that's less than an MOA.
Right.
So if we're getting you quicker, faster, with less time spent at the range, less ammunition expended, all your data out to 1,000, that's pretty valuable.
That's worth, think about what you paid for an app, right? $20, $30 app, you know, the $200 suite, whatever the case may be, we can do this without anything but a single number. And we're giving that to you for nothing. You know what I mean? Like I said, there was a friggin', you know, bullshit guy trying to say that I'm pimping gear on this. I'm, you know, selling you this or selling you that. And some dude on Facebook.
What could you possibly be selling?
Well, when I talk about equipment, I got this scope, I'm trying this, or I got this, I'm doing this. And they're saying all I'm doing is hawking gear and trying to sell you a product. And they're completely ignoring all of this information and data we're trying to give away and to explain what we're seeing to help you work easier, work smarter. And I mean, what is that worth to you? And think about that kind of perspective. And that's what we're doing. Why are we keeping notes? Why does Taylor have his Green Army notebook? What are these things called? I think they got something written on them.
It's an innocent
Federal Supply Service notebook. Yep. 7530-000-222-321. And, you know, with the barcodes and the whole thing, it's the same one we used in the Marine Corps back in the 80s.
Yep.
And we're keeping notes on all this stuff. We're looking at the trends in shooter data, which is how Mark was able to come up with the weaponized math. You know why? Because when a student shoots and gets his dope, Mark was writing it down.
Yep.
Who does that?
Yep.
Right? Who writes down your dope and keeps it? Then the next one, and the next one, and then takes that information, boils it down, and said, what's the common element? Oh, wait a minute. Light bulbs.
Yep, yep.
And we're not keeping it to ourselves. We're not trying to fucking hide our voodoo and protect our turf. We're giving it out publicly. You know what I mean? We're not out there saying, oh, you know, this is the top secret loophole formula. Because we've only
like
been
the number four.
Yeah,
the
number like number four. Yeah, I don't own number four, dude. You know, I ain't some fucking tool.
And now we don't own weaponized math.
Right.
We're sharing.
We gave it away.
Yeah.
We already gave it away. You got it. And you know what I mean? I'm not trying to tell you that number four is mine. Oh, I invented this, or I did that, or I did, you know. Yeah, we came up with it, but we're not hoarding it. We're not patenting it. We're not profiting off of it. We're giving it out so you can be a better shooter. And so that's kind of where I'm at when, you know, looking back at the 200th episode of the Everyday Sniper podcast. And so that's where I'm landing.
How many years you been in existence?
For the podcast?
Yeah.
This is the January would be the second year.
Yeah, 2 years. Yeah.
Yeah, January would be 2 years. So SHOT Show would be our 2 year anniversary. And, you know.
Oh, SHOT Show.
I don't know how I feel about that, man. I'm actually kind of fucking burnt.
Whoa. No. You're going the wrong direction.
Yeah. You know what?
I'm going the other direction.
Yeah. I don't want to bring up the sweet. We can't bring up.
But basically, it's like now we got students wanting to follow us to SHOT Show. Not follow us, but just be there and experience what we're experiencing in SHOT Show. Well, Frank and I get together every year at Ferraro's, which is an excellent Italian restaurant. And we usually take about 10 guys.
Yeah, 10 to 12 people.
We book this room and we fill this room and we have an excellent dinner. And that's, but they're now wanting to become a part of that, not only here at the lodge and at the range, but they're going, hey, I want to go to SHOT. Well, we can accommodate that sometimes and we can't. But basically, yeah, it's live, man. This is becoming a mobile community.
Yes.
You know, I took them to Gunsight. You came with us.
Yep.
But I invited Frank. Hey, Frank, I'm getting 9 guys from here. You want to come? Yeah, we come. We had a great time. But basically, we're now mobile. Not only are we a community, but we're a mobile community.
And that's the important thing. And that's and this kind of comes back to the software and the computer stuff. Like in when we tell people, don't put your face in the phone. It's we're creating this community and take you to bring you into it. So you don't have to be sitting there by yourself with a face in your phone. You're now interacting with like-minded people. I mean, we talk about this with the politics side of things. You got to stick together, right? You got to make sure we have a unified front with a lot of this stuff. And now bringing you into this community, we want you to interact. We want you to be part of it. We want you to share your experiences because then we learn from it. I mean, that's the whole point of Sniper's Hide, to basically exchange information about the art and science of long-range precision rifle shooting, right? It's a forum. It's a community. So what I did with Sniper's Hide is now being translated to the real world through classes. And so that's kind of where I'm going
with
this.
When you're living in your phone, you're not living with the people around you.
Right.
And whether that be in the living room with your kids and your wife, that's bad. Or you're on the range and you're studying your phone when you should be listening to how I'm instructing the guy 3 guys down from you. Or what Frank's saying to the guy 3 guys the other direction.
Right.
You know, you're digging in your phone. And I can't imagine what you could be tweaking because you only have to tweak these things one time. I haven't tweaked anything.
It wasn't last night, but the 2 nights, the Friday night on PR1 and then Saturday. I probably tweaked 6 got people's software. 5 minutes.
Yep.
6 people's software in 5 minutes, and I got you lined up and worked. And then I did the BC tweak and all that, and people were like, my dope solid, because I did the 600-yard muzzle velocity. And then for here for the class, what I did was 1,000-yard BC, because we had from 300 to 1,000 yards. I said, just give me your 600-yard number and give me your 1,000-yard number. I don't need anything else. And give me your phone. Boom, 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 boom. I did 2 tweaks, and they're rocking and rolling.
They're rocking and rolling, but they're rocking and rolling without confidence because they haven't shot that yet.
Right.
Now it's still tri-dope.
Yes.
Right? It's still, to a certain measure, it's still tri-dope. But with the weaponized math, what we're giving you is a formula to create actual data.
Yes. Yeah, totally.
Without picking up your phone.
Yeah.
With a pencil and paper.
And it's hardcore. All you got to do is read it. You're going to put it on an arm bar. You're going to put it where it's accessible. You need it to be accessible. And guess what happens with your phone? It shuts off. You got to turn it back on. You got to open up the app. You got to look at it again. A piece of paper with your numbers written down on it, laminated or otherwise, is never off.
Yep.
Right? There's no off button. There's no battery. Like the power button just came on my phone. Like, hey, low power. It's like, fuck, pain in the ass, annoying, what the fuck, you know? And it's just, that's the way it is. Become interactive. Become a part of this community. Go out there and learn. Go take a class, even if it's not our class. Go take a class and just see how it is. And that's, you know.
You're only as good as your next hit. You're not as good as your last hit. You're as good as your next
hit. Yeah, nobody remembers your last hit.
Nobody remembers your last hit. But if your last hit was written down and you can draw it back up, then your next shot is going to have a higher probability of being
right,
precise.
Right.
Or yeah, predictable. Predictable.
All good stuff, yeah. Man. So I really do appreciate it. I like I said, we're learning just as much as everybody else. We learn something every time. Oh, and I like I said, I want to do another shout out. The Game Changer bags. How well are those working? Like when we're shooting PR2 in the alternate positions, the four-wheeler.
Yeah.
Right on the like the speedometer between the steering wheel of the four-wheelers, one of the we got the Chris, the hunter guys.
Yep.
Right? I said, oh, let's get our Game Changer. I put it right on there. I put it right down on top. He's sitting in his seat. He drops his rifle on the Game Changer, and boom, 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 he's able to make his hits and do what he has to do from right on top of his four-wheeler. So if you're out there working in a four-wheeler and you're moving around, you don't have to get off it. You don't have to do anything. You carry a Game Changer. Sure, it weighs 7-8 pounds, but guess what? You're on a four-wheeler. Who cares?
Yeah. Support that right elbow if you can.
Yeah,
that shooter, that definitely. Shooting elbow if you can. And what he did was he stuck his foot up on the wheel well.
Yep.
And basically propped his elbow up.
And then Greg put the Stu Redman canister bag.
Coffee can bag. Coffee, yeah. It's size of a coffee can.
Right.
What is it, a 6-pound coffee can or something?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so when Greg was doing it, he used his basically this big round rear bag to prop his firing elbow up. And the hits were there.
Rock stars.
We see it.
Yep.
And then, you know, so cool. We're going to end this. We're going to get it. We're done. We've had a good one. I really appreciate it. I'm still going to do a giveaway. I got some stuff there when I get back. I'm heading home tomorrow. Like I said, we're doing our victory lap. You probably can hear a little bit of it. My voice is shot. But thank you guys for being part of 200 episodes. Thank you for all the feedback. Please can keep on commenting, posting, whether it be Facebook, whether it be Sniper Site Forum. Fuck Facebook, actually. But the Sniper Site Forum or the Podbean app, keep throwing those comments out there. And just thanks a lot to the 410
here. Yeah.
Thanks to the 410 students. Thanks to all the students down at Mile High and that stuff. And thanks to everybody who's been part of this. If you don't listen, we wouldn't keep doing it. But since you're listening and all that, we really appreciate it.
Yeah, this is Taylor. I'll see you again at Treadproof. I'll be back on at Treadproof.
Yep. So, yeah, we're gonna keep doing it. So we'll talk to you then. Peace out, man. Appreciate it.